In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, I'm glad to be with you to proclaim the Word of God. We heard yesterday that the apostles were turning the world upside down by the proclamation of the gospel in Thessalonica. Oh, that we would have men and women that turns the world upside down. It's true, the world is turned upside down, and the teaching of the church is very different than the teaching of the world. Not only do we preach Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead, but we preach the Beatitudes. Oh yes, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, we need to know that the gospel does turn people upside down. Upside down. And you know, many people think that when they die, all the good things that they've done, all the good things that they've done are going to be weighed with the bad things that they've done. No. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but through Christ the Lord and by His blood." I'm looking at the 17th chapter of Acts, verse 10. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Remember, they always go to the synagogue first, for salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. These Jews were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, including not a few Greek women and men of high standing. But when the Jews of Thessalonica learned that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, as well as they came there to stir up and incite the crowds. Again, the enemy does not want the gospel to go out. He does not want the gospel to go out. I'm telling you, the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ who dies for our sins, who was buried and who was raised from the dead. And by grace we are saved, not of works, lest any man or woman boast. I tell you, we need the grace of God. The gospel is good news to everybody. I was looking at my feed last night. How happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news. Oh, yes. How happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news. I have good news for you today. You don't have to save yourself. You have to just surrender to Jesus. Oh, yes, I have good news to you today that Christ has died. Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. I tell you, this is good news. And we know that Paul preached the good news until he went to Athens. Okay, we're going to look at that in a little while. Then the believers immediately sent Paul away to the coast, but Silas and Timothy remained behind. And those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens. Oh, brother. Here Paul tries to outwit the pagans. And after receiving instruction to have Silas and Timothy join him as soon as possible, they left him. And while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, Timothy and Silas, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of images. So we don't have images in our city, but we have boards that show people half naked. Yes, we have signs that show people half naked. And yes, that, you know, that you would become a god if you buy this product. How sick. How sick. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and also in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there Also, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with Paul. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities." I tell you, he's a proclaimer of the gospel. But you know what? Paul will not preach the cross to these people. And as a result, only a couple of people are saved. He preaches the resurrection. The cross, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the good news. This was because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Didn't do the cross. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presented?" Oh, these people love new things. "I don't have anything new to tell you. I have only what God is doing, what God has done, what God wants to do. That's the only thing I have. I can just tell you that we just heard from Betty, and she has fourth degree cancer, and it's the same. It hasn't spread, and God has healed her by the grace of the living God." That's new. That's news. That's news I just received today. We need to see the news for Anna, that the cancer is being dissolved in Anna and in Homer in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. It sounds very strange to us, so we would like to know what it means. So yeah, they wanted their ears to be tickled. I don't want to tickle your ears. I'm telling you, there's only one way to the Father. That's through the blood of Jesus. I don't want to tickle your ears. I want to tell you that God is the God of the living, and that he has a plan for you. No matter how old you are, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Now, all the Athenians and foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. I have nothing new to tell you, only what God is doing by the power of his death and resurrection. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way." Paul's trying to get their attention, but to no avail. He doesn't preach the gospel. He preaches the resurrection. "For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life, breath, and all things." And God gives us everything. You know, if God stopped thinking about us, we'd be dead today. "From one ancestor he made all nations," that's Adam and Eve, "to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him." I tell you, God didn't wait for us to look for him. He looked for us. He became a human being, and he bridges the gap between man and the world, man in the world, through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the cross of Jesus Christ. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, so Paul is using the poets of these pagans, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your ancestors and your poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere, that's you and me, to repent, turn away from your sins, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. You see, again, he doesn't preach the cross. Raising him from the dead by the resurrection. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, others said, "We will hear you again about this." Yeah, don't hold your breath. At that point, Paul left them, but some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris. He didn't have many converts. Why? Because he failed to preach the cross. He wanted to tickle the ears of the philosophers, giving them something new, but not the whole story. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We need to preach the whole story of Jesus' salvation, that he died for our sins. By the blood of Christ we have been saved, that he was buried and on the third day rose again from the dead. After this, chapter 18, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And what did he say to the Corinthians? "Before I came to you, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified." Oh, he learned from the people that were philosophers that he didn't preach the cross. But now he goes to Corinth, or I should say, yes, to Corinth, and he says, "I made up my mind to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified." What about you? What about you? Do you love the crucified, risen Lord? Do you know him? After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently become from Italy with his wife Priscilla. This is Aquila and Priscilla. Because Claudius has ordered all Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, they made tents, Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. He stayed with them, and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. Every Sabbath, he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with proclaiming the word of God, testifying to the Jews that the Messiah was Jesus. How does he use the scriptures? Isaiah 52 and 53, Psalm 22, oh yes, that talks about the crucifixion of Jesus. When they opposed and reviled him in protest, he shook the dust off his clothes and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles," because the Jews wouldn't accept it. Some Jews did. But I tell you, we need to preach to the Jew first, and then to the Greeks, then to the Gentiles. Thank God for the radio, because I know Jewish people are listening to me. I know that Jewish people are listening to me. They are hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know there are Jewish people listening to me. I love the Jewish people. I love the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Oh yes, if I had any place I would want to go, I would want to go back to Jerusalem and see the beauty of God's holy land. Then he left the synagogue and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. It's very interesting. You can live across the street from the church and you don't know Jesus. You can live next door to the church and you don't know Jesus. I have people living next door that know Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. But I know people across the street. They have no idea that Jesus dwells in the heart of believers. They have no idea. They don't come to church. They don't hear the gospel. They don't receive the Eucharist. Christus, the official of the synagogue, became a believer in the Lord together with all his household. That's including children. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul became believers and were baptized. One night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you or harm you, for there are many in the city who are my people." Oh, yes, Paul, don't be afraid. Oh, he tells us that every day. Don't be afraid. I don't care what you're going through. I have a heart murmur. God knows how many people have heart murmurs, but they're healthy. They're healthy. They're healthy. Don't be afraid. Fear is useless. Just trust Jesus. I understand that fear is useless. I've given my life over many times in the past to fear, and it doesn't lead you anywhere but to more fear. He stayed there a year and 6 months, hallelujah, teaching the word of God among them. That's what he did in Corinth, a year and 6 months, always starting with the cross. I made up my mind to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. But when Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal. They said, "This man is persuading people to worship God in ways that are contrary to the law." Well, the proconsul is going to say, "It's none of our business." Just as Paul was about to speak, Galileo said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of crime or serious villainy, I would be justified in accepting the complaint of the Jews. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and of your own law, see to it yourselves. I do not wish to be a judge of these matters." I don't wish to judge, talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus. "It's a matter of words," he said. "No, I tell you, not a matter of words. It's a matter of salvation." But he didn't know that. He didn't know that. So they released Paul. He didn't know that the death and resurrection of Jesus is our salvation, for we who surrender our lives to the Word of God, who is the Word made flesh, his name, Jesus the Messiah. And he dismissed them from the tribunal. Then all of them seized Sosthenes, the official of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Galileo also paid no attention to any of these things. After staying there for a considerable amount of time, Paul said farewell to the believers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila at Cenchreae. And at Cenchreae he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. When they reached Ephesus, he left them there, but first he himself went into the synagogue and had a discussion with the Jews. When they asked him to stay longer, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. At Antioch they were first called Christians. After spending some time there, he departed and went from place to place through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. How's he strengthened the disciples? By preaching the word of God, by preaching salvation, by preaching that God has a plan for us, by preaching the good news of the gospel, that Christ has died, was buried, and rose from the dead. Oh, yes, by preaching morality. Okay, we have lost morality in the United States. We say, if it feels good, do it. I tell you, it might feel good when you take a drug, but it could kill you. I tell you, it might feel good if you're living with another man, a man and a man, but I tell you, it'll lead you to a place you don't want to go. Oh, yes, if it feels good, do it. That's what we have in the United States. If it feels good, do it. Unfortunately, who preaches against it? unfortunately, people do not want to turn the world upside down. They say, well, we don't want to turn the people off. Let me tell you a secret. The people have never been turned on. At least if they hear the gospel, they can say yes or no. Turn them off or turn them on. I tell you, we've never turned them on. We have nothing to say but platitudes. And platitudes does not touch the heart. It touches the ears. It's the itching ears. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. Now guess what's going to happen to him? Well, listen, it's very important. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. There was something missing. Now, he had eloquence in his preaching, but the power of God wasn't there. I tell you, they laid hands upon this guy, and the baptism of the Spirit was given to him. Now he's not only eloquent, he's powerful. Oh, they knew something was missing. They knew something was missing. And when he wished to cross over to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. On his arrival, he greatly helped those who through grace had become believers. By grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man boast. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scripture that the Messiah is Jesus. Chapter 19, Paul in Ephesus. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" This was something missing. Oh yes, they're believers in Jesus, but there's something missing. They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Well, they're going to fix that. Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They had Pentecost. Pentecost should be the normal experience of everyone in the church. The baptism of the Spirit should be the normal experience of everyone in the church. Paul made sure that these people who believed in Jesus would receive the baptism of the Spirit by laying hands upon them. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this question. Are you convinced that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you convinced that he died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead? Are you convinced that God gives the Holy Spirit in a powerful way to people who want it? We have not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is neglected in most churches. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he leads the sheep and the shepherd. And people are afraid. They're into wanting it all for themselves, wanting to lead themselves, not by the grace of God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary is not a god. Mary is not a goddess. Mary leads us to Jesus. I know that because she led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Paul made a mistake in Athens, but he said to the Corinthian community when he went there from Athens, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wonder if we, the church, and me, know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.